a year to intuitively grasp this idea of spinningness, which was one of the key points of consciousness that I never heard this before. In all the metaphysical studies I've done, I never heard it. And they explained that when something spins, it gets awareness. Can you imagine that? It's a very simple concept.
When it condenses awareness. Where awareness is a condensation of manifestation from the field.
Right. And so originally there was one awareness, the first awareness. And there's
but there has to be something aware of, to be aware of.
Yeah.
For you to know you're aware.
You can be aware of yourself. You can be aware of, you know, we're all aware of ourselves. We're aware that, okay, I feel this way now. Now I feel this way. And the way you feel keeps changing. So as long as you're keeping track of that, I'm just, you know, I think this is right. And you have the beginning of time, because now there's the before and after. I felt like this, now I feel like this, now I feel like this. But it gets kind of boring and lonely. And so, but there's still a mystery of how there was the first awareness. And if we're going to try to solve that mystery, if we assume the first awareness had all the rules of all the other awarenesses, it had to spin. And how does something start to spin when there was nothing? That's a good question, okay? And maybe
Lauren, we need to transcribe. Lauren explained it. We need to transcribe that. And they explained it too, to some degree, and then Lauren elaborated on it.
But once there's spinningness and then there's consciousness, the universe continues to expand. Or the beginning of the universe starts and then continues its evolutionary process. And the way our sources describe it is they created the beginning. In other words, when there was the one infinite creator, and then the one infinite creator is spinning parts of itself, and those parts that were spinning
began to have an identity.
Yeah, they had their own identity and their own motion, and they could create themselves. They were not, the one infinite creator was not their boss, but they knew they were part of the one infinite creator, and there were these individuated spinningnesses, which we refer to as the Elohim. And now there's nothing, the thing about it is there was no persistence. There was just, we're here now, we're here now, and now, now. But they decided they wanted to create persistence, so that something that could exist without them having to keep paying attention to it. So then they started experimenting with spinningnesses. And spinningnesses is another name for frequency. They could create spinningnesses.
No, it creates frequency.
Spinningness creates frequency, okay?
Yeah.
Well, if something is spinning, it has a frequency, okay?
Although,
right. The thing about it is, and this is a good question, which I've thought about in the past, and I don't think I've ever asked, if something is spinning and creating frequency, but you know, normally when you look at frequencies in this dimension, they're always described as cycles per second, you know, like 10,000 cycles per second. Or,
it's like how many times does it spin?
Yeah, but the point is,
it's creating time, though.
If you're dealing in a realm where time is being created, then the
spinning, it's all at the same time. It's created time.
Well, there is. They're creating time at the same time they're creating spinningness. And then my mind starts to bog about how do you create time and spinningness at the same time and whatever.
Well, it's a result.
Oh, you're the big expert here. We should ask Warren. We have a guy on our line who is scientifically a genius about celestial mechanics, and he sometimes has contemplated some of these questions. And
is he on today?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't check. But in any case, Lauren, are you on? Do a star six.
Did anybody hear him come on?
Mm-mm. No.
Okay.
So in any case, as the universe was created, and we have like 25 calls on this topic, we had discussions about how they would create spinningnesses or frequencies, or spinningness of certain frequencies that would come together to create nodes, and it would become a point that would stay. Now, I don't know why
it seemed like it stayed, but it was constantly created by the intersections of the different spinningnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But did the Elohim have to keep paying attention to the spinningnesses for it to
not if
work?
It's subawareness paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
Even subconsciously.
Mm-hmm. Did the Elohim have a subconscious?
Everything is like there are subconsciousnesses in the body. You don't say, okay, now heart beat, you know, it just keeps on beating automatically.
Right. But we have a body. They don't have a body. They're just energy. So we'll ask questions.
But that's a preliminary of a body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But in any case, the universe started and kept building upon itself, and that every bit of consciousness was given free will. The Elohim were not going to be the masters of telling the universe how to create itself. It was going to create itself, and they were going to let it go, but they could intervene. They can still intervene. And
they can only intervene if what they're intervening into is agreeable.
Right. Well, since they exercise free will, then for them to intervene, the consciousness here has to request it, so they don't violate the free will.
Yeah, request it doesn't mean to write an email or to say it out loud or to say it in English, just a yearning.
Or to think
request
it, right.
Yeah.
But they have to request it. They also have to be...
They have to desire it.
But there also has to be a co-creative connection between the person and the Elohim, because... If
the frequencies bring people together so that it ties them into the same thing.
Right. If there wasn't a co-creative connection, then the Elohim would be our slaves. We tell them, please do this, do that, do this. And that's not
That wouldn't work. Everything would end up a wreck.
Right. So it's not just ask them and they'll do it. There's another element, which is having a vibrational connection with them, turning them into friends. So friends like to help each other, okay? But strangers, they still can help each other. But friends that you can count on. So how to become, turn the Elohim into friend, a friend you can count on. Remember, the Elohim is not one being. It's a lot of beings. But they're under the auspices of the law of one. So they can come together and act as one being. Just as we can come together and act as one being, which we do.
Just as the social complex, the social wars, the ideas, the beliefs of the people make a people come together.
Are you starting to channel already, Terry?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you know what? When you create the right relationship, and, you know, as they have said, the law of one is the basic foundational principle of the universe.
Yeah.
Which means everything is
part
of
one. That's why the negative can never win.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run. But don't count
run.
On it in the short run.
Right. Right. So we are all aspects of the one infinite creator. Then we go to Philip Dick, who just quickly was a guy that lived in Berkeley that was supporting himself by writing science fiction stories for science fiction magazines. And if he was lucky, he got paid $200, which was quite a bit of money in the 70s, probably like $400 or $500 now or more. But nonetheless, it was a modicum of income. And eventually he died, I think sometime around in the 1980s. And after he died, Hollywood discovered his stories, and they all became classics, movies, cult classics. Things like Blade Runner, Minority Report, Tom Cruise was a star, Arnold Schwarzenegger was a star, Steven Spielberg was a producer for one of the movies, and he has become a cult hero. And his movies have incredible depths and incredible understanding of the way things work, because there was a thread of truth in the movies that was about how the negative works, about cloning, about all kinds of stuff. And when I was first talking to the Elohim, I came up with a page from Philip K. Dick's notes. He made notes, or like a diary. And Terry, stop scratching your microphone.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's... Okay.
Go ahead. Still, he made notes, and one of his pages of notes, there was the word Elohim was in it, and it came up in my search, and I never heard of Philip K. Dick, although I heard of his movies. I heard of Blade Runner. Wait a second, I'm going to...
He sneezed.
Did you hear it in the other room?
Yeah, I heard it in the other room.
All right. So there was this incredible story about what he called pluriforms of light. And one of the other most of our conversations are focused on the Elohim. But early on, I discovered another group soul that was also very important to our evolutionary process. And that was a group soul that was made up of graduates of this realm, souls that got off the wheel of reincarnation and teamed together on the other side to help planetary populations at lower levels. And I discovered this group's soul because when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Wilcock believed he was channeling that group's soul. And by inference, Edgar Cayce was channeling that group's soul. And Carla Ruckert, who all of you who are regulars on our call know who she is, was also channeling that group's soul in the early 1980s for about 3 years. And it came out in three books, which are still classics of channeling, available on Amazon, available for free on our website. This group's soul is called the Ra Group, or they identified themselves as the Ra Group. And this group's soul, the Ra Group, because they had bodies and graduated, had more of a connection to the lower realms than the Elohim group did. And as I studied both of their channelings, I found the Elohim group had wisdom from vicariously observing the development of the universe from nothing until now. But the Ra group had wisdom of how to untrap yourself from this realm, how to graduate this realm. And recently I asked some questions, many of you were there, and I don't know if you noticed, but occasionally they give an answer which is astounding, for me anyway. And one of the things I asked them in the past couple of weeks is, does a person have to master the physical realm, this realm, to graduate? And their answer was no, they do not have to master it. And souls that master the realm become better teachers in this realm because they have the wisdom to understand the traps and the pitfalls. So, but oftentimes souls from the Elohim group that end up in this realm, because there are souls from the Elohim group here, many, they don't have the wisdom of the realm. But they have a radiance that comes from high. And one of the things we learned early on, I learned early on, was the Elohim created the Mormons, or they had an association with the guy who started the Mormons, because Elohim souls would keep coming into this realm to try to lift the realm, and they don't remember that once they're here. They have to rediscover it, and oftentimes they get caught up in the realm, and because they're more powerful, they can actually become negative. And part of the lower level control mechanism for this realm. So they wanted to create a religion where Elohim souls could come in and they would be reminded that they were actually here to be of service. And that religion was the Mormons. Now, that does not mean that religion is the best religion, because it's not. And like all religions, it gets gotten corrupted over the years. But one thing about the Mormons is Mormons are different than other people. If you happen to know any, and I did know a number of Mormons, and I thought about Mormons, and it made sense to me that they were Elohim souls. Because if you look at Mormons, if you happen to know any, and I don't mean converts, I mean people who come from the lineage of the Mormons, way back from the 1800s, they are very attractive people in general. They have vitality. They don't seem to have as many blocks in their body as other people who have been reincarnating 1,000 times. They help each other more than any other religion on the planet. They'll actually pay somebody's rent and buy them food if they're a church member in good standing. And they are very good at creating in this realm. They can create very successful businesses. Salt Lake City is probably the cleanest city in this country that I ever remember being in. It's clean. It's like there's not trash anywhere. There's no graffiti. People are very pleasant. But the big thing about Mormons, and this is the one that convinced me I was getting the right information, was they do not have the wisdom of this realm. They're very smart. They're very competent. But they don't have the wisdom. And I used to think of, in terms of musical acts that everyone is familiar with, I used to think of Donnie and Marie Osmond, who were Mormons, as being very good examples of Elohim souls in this realm. They would shine brightly. They had the most radiant smiles. And they projected Elohim energy in their performances. And I would think of Leonard Cohen or perhaps Bob Dylan as perhaps Ra souls. Now, I'm just making this up, okay? But it's not that our sources said that. I never asked them. But they both have extreme wisdom of the realm, but they're nowhere shining as brightly, brightly as Donnie and Marie Osmond. That gives you a feeling of the difference between these group souls. And the rock
when you get a minute, when you get a minute, they want to hear something. We want to say something, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I got a minute. Let them talk.
Yeah. Well, there's I noticed a very big difference between a very knowledgeable Elohim soul and say Russell. Or a human, because there is a focusing of frequencies they leave as they focus in, they leave certain things behind, frequencies behind, and one of them is. For an Elohim, a raw Elohim, we're trying to get away from higher level, saying higher level. It's just a fact of life, a refocusing in, kind of becoming more located. But to be one of the unlocated, unlocatable Elohim beings that is can form and unform and can look at the realm as what it's composed of. It's like putting on magic glasses, and then everything you look at, you see as a result of all of the factors that he created. All of the energies that were put together to make that result, the wall, the sky, the ground, everything, it has a makeup. And if you put on, if you're able to be so unlimited that you can put on the magic glasses, then you can see the different little icons of the holograms that are integrated together to make up the final result of the wall or the ground or the building or the sky. Everything, you can, if you put on the magic glasses, you can see all the little holograms that integrate together exponentially. I wish Lauren was here to hear this, but maybe he can listen to the replay. The different values that an icon would have to contribute to the makeup of something, and it is everything is made that way of different contributing holograms. They feed in their hologramic input to make the final result, and it's created in the now. So these little hologramic inputs are changing every minute of every instant. The makeup is changing. So if you become a master in that realm, you can spin a certain input. And like if somebody has one of the biggest inputs might be the idea or belief system a person has, like that I don't have money and there's no place I can get money and I have to go get a job for $10 an hour and it's going to take me forever. Okay, that belief system gets fed in there and it's a huge input in the result. So some of these values, these little inputting belief systems are the creation of some reality that inputs into it, and then integrating all of it together makes the final result, and they don't have equal input into the result. Some of our little minor things like the star systems, the median lines, the moon, it's like all of that inputs in, and it's all got this little hologram in there, or it's big little hologram. Because you can get bigger or smaller depending upon your focus. You don't have to stay smaller than the situation. You can get more huge, bigger than a situation. And then you see, oh, well, there's all the factors that feed into this. And now you become superior to the situation and you begin to be able to handle it instead of it handling you.
Yes, and this is really important for understanding yourself, because every one of us is a product of our track. And even the negative, what we call the negative in this realm, has been evolving, I would say, certainly millions of years, okay, if not longer.
And are we recording?
I hope so. Yes.
Good.
Are we recording? Okay. Are we recording? I think so. I better go check. I hope so. The PBS is on their recording.
But
let me go look.
Yeah, but I don't think they're on.
Let me see if we're recording.
Yes, we're on.
Yes, PBS is on.
Oh, good. Thank you, Steve.
Yes, good.
Yeah, you're recording. I just came on and it said you were recording.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, why would the negative evolve over millions of years to be the horrible force that it is right now in this realm? Well, what I understand is that at the higher levels of dimensions, the consciousness is there. And we can talk about the Elohim, but not just the Elohim, are aware that they're part of all that is. And they're part of each other. And even though they're individuated, they can come together for the highest good of the universe. And they do. And that's why they become a group soul. And a group soul does not mean it's all glommed together. It means there's a bunch of individual creative forces choosing to come together and operate as a team. But they're not glommed to the team. They have sub-councils, they have discussions, I would imagine, to say, how do we do a better job from where we're at in influencing the lower level of the universe?
It's funny because they think differently. They don't think in terms of English. And so they think it's tediously. So it seems like a very slow way to describe everything, but it is our description from our realm.
Mm-hmm. But you're operating, and you can still create frequencies or spinningnesses in this realm. But
yeah,
you can't change the free will of all the beings in this realm that are locked in to this reality.
Well, the input that we could put in can change it to leave a little impression that maybe mm-hmm. they could pick up on at some point or other.
Right. You can create certain potentials in lower level
right.
beings.
Right.
Just like you're creating potentials in our group that were not there without your input. But everyone that's here is a totally free will operative and has to make their own decisions and their own conclusions to decide if this is valid. And then we can co-create with you when we come to the point of understanding how the co-creation works, because in the highest aspect, you're part of us, and we're part
right.
of you.
Right.
And so that means we're moving into the law of one, and then we have the ability to do teamwork together, which is why we
yes.
do Whole Planet why we do Whole Planet Healing every day. It's a teamwork project to lift the vibrations in this realm where we can without violating the free will of even those horrible negative beings. And why do they get negative?
Well, as long as you put the word horrible to it, then you make this big division. You set them adrift.
Okay. Well, take off the word. What word would you choose? Misguided?
Distorted.
Distorted? Okay, so
maybe alienated or off, like something that goes, a trolley that goes off the track and mm-hmm. is trying yeah. to plow through the city.
And then you ask, why did they go off the track? And I would suggest the reason is, at a certain point in the creation of densities, at the higher densities, beings have a very easy time connecting with the law of one and that they're all part of each other. But in the lower densities, there's a veil here that it became so structured, even though this density, you know, in Hindu, they call it Maya. They call it illusion. But the illusion is so compacted, so dense, that when you're in it, it doesn't seem like an illusion. It seems like this is what's real. And then what seems like what's real is that when you die, you don't exist anymore, that you don't have a part of you that's eternal. You don't know that while you're in a conscious body. So then you say, I better get what I can while I'm here, because it doesn't matter. There's not an awareness of karma. There's not an awareness of what you sow, you shall reap. And you go from one lifetime to the next in this acquisitive, like, I got to get money, I got to get this. And you keep coming back to this realm, each time most likely forgetting your past track, starting over with all these intentions that have been imbued into your being of what it means to be alive in the physical realm. Now, am I saying that fairly accurately?
You are, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, going back to Philip Dick and the Ra Group, well, before I go back to Philip Dick, I'll just mention the Ra Group talked about wanderers. And wanderers were beings from the Ra Group that came back into this realm because if they didn't do it, the realm would fall apart. It would be owned by the negative. The negative would have sectioned it off, and it could be almost impossible at that point for it to change. So there needed to be beings from the higher realms that would come back here to attempt to fix the, you know, to uplift the vibration here. But the problem is, when that happens, they all get under the spell of veil of forgetfulness. They don't remember that's not why they're here. And according to the Ra Group, 90% of their members, when they come here, get caught up in reincarnational cycles again, even though they graduated in the past. And remember that someone can graduate this realm that has not mastered it. If they come back, their lack of mastery of the realm will cause them to get caught up in it again. And the Elohim has members that come here as well. And I believe there's more members of the Ra Group than the Elohim group. And the Elohim, when they come into this realm, are usually called starseeds. And they're radiant, they're angelic, and they usually, if they don't get caught up being negative, they'll usually live fairly sequestered lives to keep from getting caught up in all the dark energies here. That's why a religion was important, to keep them focused and reminded, even though the Mormon religion doesn't ever tell their members that they're Elohim souls, and the Mormon religion at the top has gotten corrupted, I'm sure. And so even though there's millions of Elohim souls in that religion, they have to figure it out themselves. And of course, if they do, usually they break away from the religion. And there are some brilliant people that have done that. And even within the religion, people can have, just like Christianity, you know, what we've learned is Christianity was something that the Ra group was responsible for. I'm not going to tell the story, and you shouldn't believe me the first time you hear it, but there's a huge amount of evidence that I've uncovered that makes it clear to me that the Ra group had a huge role in the connection with Jesus. And my first clue to this, and it was just a clue because I didn't believe it, was in one of the channelings through David Wilcock, where they said, "We came to you in our religion, mainly Christianity, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way religion screwed it up." That's kind of a paraphrase of it, but that's what they said. And I was stunned when I read that, when they said, "We came to you in our religion." And they have done other interventions throughout history, which some of them are talked about in the Ra material of Carla Rucker. And if this is fascinating to you, you ought to read that material. You can get it online for free at llresearch.org. And it's not such an easy task fixing this realm. I mean, quite frankly, we should have a million people on this call instead of 50 or 40 or whatever we have. And when I say we should, I shouldn't say we should, because then it makes a judgment. From the Elohim's point of view, it's a miracle that we've gotten this far and created this kind of transparency in our
this
ability.
This is like the answer to Philip K. Dick's thing that you read, that this whole group is working to get in contact and like to receive the contact from the higher realm and to bring this whole realm up as a result, even if, you know, we don't have more people.
We're still doing our part. And, you know, there's no telling where it will go, okay? You know,
yeah, I mean, like a seed that can grow.
It's like they told Carla Ruckert, don't promote this. Don't proselytize it, you know, her Ra material. And just by slow word of mouth, it's becoming, still is selling really well on Amazon. Still loads of people studying that work.
Yeah.
Even after 40 years, even after Carla is dead. And the thing
you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that maybe one of the first things that we should work on is to transcribe the Law of One Made Simple and to put that out.
Well, I think that's a great idea because people would pay attention to it. Carla and I became very good friends because I studied her and I went out of my way to meet her early on because I wanted to decide if I could trust her information. I wanted to meet the person, and over the years, and actually, I met her before I had my first channeling experience with the Elohim, and we liked each other. And she lived in Louisville, Kentucky. And when I met Daphne and Daphne started channeling the Elohim, the voice that said they were the Elohim, I used to call Carla up all the time and say, well, what do you think of this? Let me read this to you. And she would always be there for me. And I wasn't sure if she actually believed in what I was doing at that point, or that they were who they say they were, because Carla was very, what's the word?
Committed?
Careful. Well, no, careful about the potential for negative sources in channeling. And I wasn't sure if she might think that my source was negative. And she never said that. But I always left it out there. But she was always supportive and helpful without saying it was negative. But she also never said it was positive. She never, you know, she just...
Eventually she did, though, didn't she?
It took 10 years, but eventually she did. Eventually she said, you know, she became my co-host on our Sunday, on this call.
And she started asking the Elohim questions.
Yeah, and all the calls with Carla are in our archives on the spiritchannel.net. If you go back 3 or 4 years, you'll hear Carla on there. And eventually she said, on our call, she said, I never met anyone in my life that understood the raw material as well as me, which I thought was a great compliment from her. And she also said, I trust Terry's channelings, which I thought was a great acknowledgement from her of our sources. But
right. Nonetheless,
it was a great honor, and I learned a lot from her, and many of you on right now heard all those calls and know what a blessing it was to have Carla coming in. Now, if I was more together right now, I would go play a little audio clip from Carla talking. She didn't channel. She wasn't channeling. She just talked from her human side. And she had a beautiful human side. She was just dedicated to loving people. And she was available to people. And her husband was very supportive. And the raw material is a classic, because the Elohim is like up, up, and away. Sorry, guys. You know what I mean. I mean, they're more distant. But the raw material, the raw group...
They're more distant, but they're more close.
They're more distant and they're more close, okay? I understand. Okay. And particularly
they're higher frequency away.
Right. In this particular period of time, the Elohim group connection with this realm is very important, because more can get done with the Elohim group than with the Ra group. I believe. I'm open to change my mind, but in general, the Ra group has been brilliant at creating long-range plans to lift the vibration of our planet. For example, Jesus. But right now, the intensity of need each moment is important to change and lift the vibration and reinforce all those people. The most important people on the planet right now are the wanderers and the starseeds. And this is where, going back to Philip K. Dick, he was saying, and this really, when I read it, it really, really sunk in and impacted me. He was saying, he didn't call them starseeds or wanderers. Those words weren't even invented when he was writing his notes. He called them pluriforms of God, that they would come into this realm to prevent the realm from dividing off and being owned by the negative, essentially.
They just they just went somewhere, and it's like they say that, you know, it's like right now, it's like with the atomic energy development, it's like it's like it could descend into really dark area if they went that way, and it's so it's like to keep it out of that arena is like critical.
Well, I like it that you guys keep interrupting me. You know that? Please, I don't feel the least bit offended. Normally, I talk and help bring the energies in, and then it takes like a half hour, 45 minutes before we bring them in and ask them questions. But now, this is the first time you've ever done that, you know.
So, I know. We know. We're getting more familiar.
We're getting all very familiar with each other.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is we're not here to put the Elohim on a pedestal. That's
no.
The tendency.
We aren't on a pedestal.
You're not on a pedestal. But the tendency of the people in this realm is to put things on pedestals, say, I got to follow you. I got to do what you say. I'm doing it in God's will.
That's like a cardboard cutout, you know, to follow
right,
somebody.
Right.
You know, co-creative is where it's really takes hold.
Right. So, and we have all these people that are being co-creative with us, and they're listening to us, and I know they're understanding. If they weren't understanding, I wouldn't be able to say it. I would, you know.
It makes our energy hearts cry with joy. It's like because it's been so long, we couldn't get through.
Right. So what Philip K. Dick said, and I just want to emphasize this principle, is these pluriforms of light would come into this realm and they would get caught up in the dark energies here. And then they would have many lifetimes of being caught up in the lower aspects of this realm.
Philip K. Dick had bursts of creativity, of connection. He had bursts of connection, and he used to use drugs to be able to set aside the mundane world to set all that aside and to connect.
Right. And so the principle, and this is the big principle that never occurred to me until I read it. That thing from Philip K. Dick was that in going through all these lifetimes and getting caught up in the negative in this realm, a being from a higher realm made a huge sacrifice to forget who they really are, to think they're part of the negative, and at the same time, they're learning about the negative. And they go through lifetime after lifetime of learning, but they have not lost their impetus to to lift the vibration of this realm, and eventually, and it can be a long time, they can use all their knowledge of the negative in a wise way so they can stay out of it and hold a light above it.
They might ask themselves, what's the payback? What is the payback of being negative? It's like, is there enjoyment of the physical senses, of the opulence, of the fine culinary foods? Is there a payback? What is the payback? That's mm-hmm. the question.
I mean, we've recently had the experience where we, Terry and I, had some really negative people pass through our life. And I pretty well knew they were negative. I mean, I could see the patterns clearly. But I couldn't tell Terry because she's still has...
I'm like lovey-dovey Pollyanna.
Right, she's still Pollyanna self, and she thinks...
Win me sound mipple.
What?
Pardon me?
Win sounds muffled.
Muffled, you
muffled.
Sound muffled.
I'm not muffled now, am I?
Better.
A little bit.
Hang on.
Well, there was some static, too.
Well, I accidentally pushed the button that took me off my headset to the speaker. So I just
don't
came back.
Don't catch it from me.
I'm not blaming you.
It's my trick. I'm just saying that.
Yeah. In any case, I mean...
For those that you are wondering, we're going back and forth between the Elohim talking and Terry, me talking.
This is a three-way conversation, but only two voices.
That's right.
And so, Philip K. Dick said eventually these pluriforms were going to wake up and the realm would transform. Had that potential.
That's terrible. That is what they are postulating.
Postulating. Now, it doesn't mean it has to happen that way, because we know historically in the evolution of the universe, things have happened that are incredibly negative and hurtful.
But that's what they're putting out, because if you put it out, then it's the beginning of it happening.
Who's putting it out?
The Elohim. We, us.
Well, I mean, putting out that we're going to destroy ourselves?
No, they're putting out that we are.
Right. And that our work, in its most important aspect, has a tendency... I don't say a tendency, I say it's doing it. It is waking up the pluriforms of light. Because suddenly, it's like, here's a ray of truth that I've searched for my entire life.
The pluriforms of light are, you might call it waking up to the fact that there's people there, there's somebody there that can be communicated with, to and from, mm-hmm. you to us mm-hmm. and us to you.
Mm-hmm. There's somebody out there that understands their dilemmas of being in this realm.
Well, somebody said that understanding was understanding, under, like that you didn't quite get it, and that, like there's another brilliant a flash that they're beginning to get flashes of what's you know, that there is there is more there, you know, there, and that your realm is not alone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So I won't use the word understand, but understand makes it a mental concept. The truth of the matter is I'm connecting with my soul family, and I know I'm connecting, and I'm part of it. And now I'm in a physical body, but I have my entire strength of my family behind me.
Yes.
It's like, you know, we need strength behind us. It's like, why do you think mafiosa are so arrogant? And
they got strength behind them.
They got strength behind them.
Yeah.
And we
judges have strength. And all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So we are having strength behind us. We are having our family, our soul families behind us.
Yes.
And that they're always there. They can always be called on. And as long as you keep your life fairly honest and ethical, and you do your work, you
don't stick to us. Just you know, don't pull us into your paradigm. You know, we don't really pull you into our paradigm. I mean, you are part of God's paradigm. It's like you have a whole ability to wake up to a new concept.
And really, I've been leading up to the topic here that I wanted to question about. Okay, which is a good time now to bring it up. Let me see what time it is.
It's 20 after 11.
Okay, I'll bring this up for 10 minutes, and then we'll go into the healing list. Okay?
All right.
And the topic is creativity. And
everything is created. It's a huge topic. It includes everything.
Right. Well, you know, it's probably something that we'll start on, and then, you know, if it becomes a good thread, we will bring it up again, maybe even next week, okay? But everyone listening to this call, everyone listening, and I say this every night, and I hope it's getting ingrained, is you are an aspect of the one infinite creator temporarily occupying these bodies. Now, why do they call the one infinite creator creator? Why do they call the Elohim creator gods? Because they can make something happen out of nothing. They are not.
They can
followers.
Go into a situation and they don't bring anything with them. They just take a look and see how everything is created. And let's say that that somebody is in a situation they don't want to be in, and they are yearning to get out of it. And the Elohim can come in and take a look and say, "Okay, well, here's the biggest factor that keeps them stuck in to that situation, and so then they can, if they have permission, which isn't verbal, or it can just be the desire of the person, they can take a look and say, this is the biggest factor that keeps them stuck in that situation, and they can spin the hologram into different holograms they create more of the outcome that the person wants. Now, if the person resists change of that particular belief system or that situation, that the hologram that they're mocking up, that they're making, if they resist to change it because they think that they have to have some other payback, that if they give it up, that they're going to get a wrong result, so they hang on to it for their life, then if we can go ahead and spin that aspect to look at different ways of looking at it, and we can just spin it and offer them. But if the person is hanging on through their life to something that they feel that, hey, I have to believe in, like that they're fearful of everybody because of something happened, and so they have to maintain that. And we can spin it, but then, for an instant it might change, but then as they bring it back into play, because they feel like they have to have it to survive, then the result that they don't want will maintain.
Well, there's two kinds of people in the world, more than two kinds, but I'm just going to divide them into two kinds. There's the kind of person that wants to defer, say, tell me what to do, I'll be your slave, And there's the kind of person that says, I've got to do everything myself. I'm not going to depend on anybody. People always screw me. I've been that kind of person. I understand it. And how do you reconcile this paradox in these two sides of humans that...
they'd say this suspicious one, they think everybody's going to scroll. So that might be one of the biggest parts of their hologramic results. And as long as they hold on to that for dear life, they're going to get the same result that they always got. They're going to attract people that are going to screw up.
You have to take on the idea. We're talking about co-creation with the Elohim. You have to take on the idea that you can co-create with humans as well. Terry and I have been around each other for years, and I only think that it is in more recent times that we are truly learning to co-create with each other.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and that is a huge, huge thing. And when you're thinking you're stuck, how does a person, you have to think, I used to have the thought that there's a billions of people on this planet and there's somebody that's just right for, if I meet them, they're looking for me and I'm looking for them.
Yeah, and you used to run off with them every now and then.
they usually weren't right. It didn't have to be. That's Terry talking now.
Yeah, right.
Okay, just in case you didn't know. But I was looking for a co-creative connection. Not, in relationships, oftentimes there's somebody who's dominant and somebody who's subservient. And it doesn't have to be the man who's dominant. It can be the woman who's dominant. And it's okay if one person dominates in their sphere of expertise, because the other person has a sphere of expertise. And, it's kind of like if you ever were writing a song with another person, which I did occasionally, it would be like the two people would be sitting there and say, well, what should the next lyric be? And if they're really co-creating, it's like when the right lyric comes up, both people will recognize it and agree. But if they're not co-creating, they'll want their idea over the other person's idea. That's an example of co-creation. What should we do now? Well, what do you think? What do I think?
Another example would be when it's like when I was setting the whole law office up on computers, and I took a copy of Data Perfect to you, and I gave it to you and said, you've got to learn about computers. And he went way beyond me in understanding. He just took off.
Yeah. Yeah, that was years ago. And at the time, you know, I had thousands of little pieces of paper everywhere with little notes on them, and I would go crazy looking. And then there was this way of organizing all your data where you could search a word, and it would just immediately come up with what you were looking for. And I was amazed. And those were the days of MS-DOS. That was before Windows.
Yes.
And I remember I bought one of those early MS-DOS computers, and I kept learning it, you know. I never went to classes. I always learned things myself because in my mind there was the ability to learn, probably from many past lifetimes where I had technical knowledge. But you still had to relearn. I had to relearn it, okay? Lauren is one of those people that has immense track of past lifetimes of incredible technical abilities, and he still had to relearn it in this lifetime, but I bet he learned it fast, faster than me, okay? And I wish he was on the call, because he would have something to contribute. And Elohim,
he would, maybe, it's like they're hoping that he listens to a replay.
Mm-hmm. But in any case, let's see what time it is. We're doing good because we got into
It is 11:30.
I think we should go into our...
Hope on the healing. The healing of the healingness.
Only about three people on the healing list.
All right.
Three people. By the way, I'm on the line.
Who is that?
You are, Lauren. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Have you been listening?
Yeah.
Do you have any comments?
Oh, that's great.
Burp. I was kind of curious as to whether or not Elohim were aware of these other realms. There are apparently
four. Yeah. Yeah, we are aware. We there are some that there are realms where there are people that are like one with, maybe the beings are working through their dramatizations. It's like one might be sadistic and the other might be wanting to experience it, and they go together and, you know, keep hitting the other person over the head over and over and over and over, you know, trying to get their dramatization worked out. There's realms that are just full of people like that, but there are no inroads really to, you know, to, it's like, it's very rare. It's like there's realms that are guarded or taught by, say, the devil, you could call them the committed to the devil area that will train people in that want to learn about that realm. They'll train people in how to be devious and magical. And there are realms like that. However, there's no connective in a way. You go into a realm to purify it, into a dark situation to purify it. Otherwise, we do not go into a realm.
I was kind of thinking about, so just to clarify this, see if we're on the same page here, there are what's called primary beings, outside the universes. And these realms or home worlds, if you will, outside the universes which are part of the Creator.
Are you referring to realms that were originally a part of the creative, have abandoned in creation or abandoned the Creator?
More like facets, like five facets of the Creator, if you will, and that are. They came in contact with each other by accident. They thought they individually, each group thought that they were the only game in town, so to speak, you know, until they came across another facet. And they're completely independent of each other. I mean, completely independent. It's not even the same telepathic language. And I mean, it's really amazing.
Yes, it is for one of those groups to contact another group that is so foreign that they do not have much to identify with the other groups.
Right.
And their whole system of ethics and morals is completely foreign,
completely different
to each other.
Yeah. Truly alien.
That's right. Yes, truly alien, yes. We are familiar with those. Yeah, go ahead.
What I see it as is it's kind of like getting to the meeting of the minds, so to speak, you know, where they where we're learning each other's language, and so that we can actually communicate on the same page.
Yes, and those other groups do not speak, we are beyond language here. They do not identify.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. Yes. Yeah. That's cool. Because I see that as that's what we're trying to resolve, you know, on any and all levels.
Yes.
I mean,
go ahead.
Well, it seems to me that there are beings that end up getting pieces of truth, and then they turn those pieces of truth into doctrines and dogmas, and
this is beyond that.
Yeah.
It's a whole, totally foreign, alien way of experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not getting into the topic I wanted to get into.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe we'll do it next week. And the question is, are there things that you can share? I mean, we share this all the time, because those of you that are listening know that when we come onto this Sunday call, this has become a co-creative call. And we are learning the secrets of the universe and the highest realms, I believe, that very few people access. And the question is, how do we're actually doing it on this call, we're giving an example of creation. We're creating out of nothing. We're not, every time we do a call, we don't approach it I don't approach it with any preconception, and we engage out of nothing and come up with the most amazing understandings. So this call itself is an act of creation, And when we do whole planet healing, it's an act of creation or co-creation. And how does an individual who is listening to this call learn how to create and co-create in their own life? That's what I wanted to discuss, because I want the people on this call who are listening to be able to take it home with them and start changing, if they want to, and I think they want to be able to be the maximum creative potential. And not everyone has the same potential, but everyone has the ability to create. You know, even when you smile at somebody and they smile back, and it's a genuine interchange, that is a creation, okay? Smiling at a stranger. So how do we create in this realm and see the maximum influence for change? And I think that's a huge topic. And I'll let our sources make a comment on that. And is that a, from your point of view, do you think there's something you could share that would help people do that?
Well, we have two ideas. One of them is to just keep listening, and the other thing is to you yourself, each one of you, are aware of things that you would like to do better, and this is your key to where to look and just observe. And that's our short comment.
Short answer. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's things about fear of rejection. There's fear of traumas and getting killed. And people think,
well, there's payback. Weird. What is your payback from that? Like, what if you let go of it? If this, the idea that you don't have any money and you'll never have any money and you're in this place that everything is against you to make money, and it's like as long as you hold on to that, that's going to be your what happens. And what is your payback for that? You know, don't assume responsibility, baby. Like scared of contacting others because you need to be co-creative to be able to set up something. But you're scared you can't do it. Other people sympathize with you. What is your payback?
Okay. So, does Tara need a break before we go into the healing list?
No.
No. Seja, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Seja.
Hi. Love you.
So, keep in mind that when you put your name on the healing list, you are really looking for a co-creative interaction with these guys that are talking to us. It's not magic. If you're looking for magic, this is the wrong group. Like, Elohim, help me make more money. Elohim, make this person love me. That is all lower level stuff.
It is all, it's like, you need, one needs to look at his or her part in what is comfortable for them. It's like if everything changed and you became a multimillionaire tonight, like how would it feel? would all of these fears suddenly go away? It's like, how would this feel? Just get the idea of how it would feel.
I mean, a lot of people, if they suddenly had a lot of money, guess what? They would become arrogant. They would think, oh, now I can control the world. And usually, they fall, okay? Usually it doesn't work that way. But in any case, Sija, let's just call in the light, protection, Father, Mother, God. We ask for the light to surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone on this line. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And I'm going to turn it over to Sija, who's going to go through the healing list. And how many people are on it now, Sija?
There are three people.
Okay, good.
Three.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Isis from Seattle, Washington. My seeking and growing in my abilities to heal my mum and sister to be helped in all areas of their lives. For true love, light, and unlimited potential to permeate every aspect of my life right now, to most effectively be a constant source of love light and provide healing and support to all the people around me. Love and healing for everyone on this call, for all planetary layers of obstruction preventing high frequencies to come in, to be removed and transmuted. Clean drinking water for every being on Earth, for any poverty vows to be removed from everyone on this call who may be open to receive this healing in all their chakras or past lives, wherever it may be located. For those of you open to it, a suggested affirmation would be, I can be spiritual and abundant. Marianne Williamson and Bernie Sanders as presidential candidates, I would like to put into the light that a president is chosen by the people who will create a collective reality with a community and a country led by integrity and love. Thank you.
Thank you.
Who was that?
ISIS. Okay. And we take a look and we offer this. We see that negativity or negative thoughts or counter thoughts, say, have an energy. And an energy cannot just be swept under the rug. That energy has a consciousness that has been some connection to the realm that has sprung out of the realm. And the consciousness to be dismissed of the counter, say the counter thought, needs to be expressed until it is expressed fully or allowed to move through its creation process or the result of its creation, what it is that sprang up. until it receives its full expression, it may not leave. However, there is what can be done with energy at some time is one, since it is a unit within itself, it can be withdrawn from an individual in certain circumstances. That is where the Christ idea of Jesus could die for another sin and could take sins away. Energy can be taken by another and then dealt with and dispensed. Distillation of what we are seeing, there is great wisdom that you may like to consider. Everyone may like to consider those ideas. Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa from England, please put Julian Assange, Brexit, 5G, weather modification, the nuclear power industry, artificial intelligence, and supercomputers into the love light for an outcome that is beneficial and of the highest good, and please set any negative agendas off course. Please send the love light to Wynne, Terry, and everyone listening to the call for good health, happiness, and financial abundance. I am putting Hong Kong, World Peace, Donald Trump, Alternative Financial Systems, the Sun, Mother Earth, All Life on Land and Sea, Alex Jones, all who are working for the benefit of humanity, into the love light for help for the highest good. I ask that any negative agendas be set off course. Thank you and love to all.
Thank you. We see these ideas have energy, and as you say, they are feeding into the hologramic input of that produces an outcome for each of these things you have mentioned, and so we do add our lovely that leaders, the whistleblowers that are working towards the greater good will be able to the effect that each one can can have a bigger effect. Thank you.
Thank you. Judith Gibson from Camp Verde, Arizona. Healing for myself. I am extremely tired almost every day. I was told by Dr. Daisy, a herbalist in Sedona, that I have adrenal fatigue caused by traumatic experiences. But I am now considering that some of my health problems may be heart and thyroid issues. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Who is that from?
This is from Judith Gibson, Camp Verde, Arizona.
Yes. We take a look and we see that there are certain herbs that could increase your blood values and certain minerals that could increase your blood levels, because the lack of energy and tiredness, it didn't come out of the blue. It is something that is missing in your supporting blood values. You might want to get a blood test and see what needs to be bolstered up, and what herbs would do that. For instance, astragalus can bring up one's white cell count, and to be sure and to like work with the herbalist to get a list of herbs that can help you build up your blood and can energize, give you more energy. There are different things. You might ask them about PolyMVA that can help to give more energy and to help the mitochondria in your cells to be more viable. Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, I just wanted to repeat that Terry said the word astragalus, and I don't think it was clear. It's very cheap, and it's something that can build your blood. You can look it up. Astragalus. I mean, you can buy it from Swanson's for about $8 for a tincture of it. And Terry's been taking it. Of course, for her, having her blood, you know, because she was going through her lymphoma, which is dropping her blood counts, she's been taking, it's one of the things she's been taking, and she thinks it helps her. Her blood counts have been going up steadily now for months and months, and her white blood cell count, and she gives astragalus, one of, she thinks that's one of the principal things that's helping that. So, that's all. Oh, I know what. Let's see, I wanted to put, first of all, I wanted to put,
Morgan
in the light.
What about Dr. Art Franklin?
And
into the
Dr. Art.
Yes,
right.
Dr. Art.
Carolyn and Chico.
Yes, Carolyn.
Who and Chico?
Carolyn.
Carolyn and Chico, right?
Janine in Utah,
and Paul Weiland, who's on the other side, and Alan in Sedona, in the light.
Yes.
And that's all that I can think of, anyways.
And perhaps Raiden.
Yes, and Raiden, and JJ.
And JJ, okay. And
Nixon,
and all the people that Nixon puts in the light all the time.
Yes.
And I also want to just mention, and who?
And Coco, and Louie.
Coco and Louie for Joe. Louie on the other side, right?
Yes, and Coco on the other side. And Bonnie Penner's and all of her people.
Right.
And Don's cat, Queenie.
Yes.
Whose cat?
Don's cat, Queenie.
Don's cat?
My brother's cat, but thank you.
Oh, sorry, Don's brother's cat.
Okay, and I also wanted to mention that, you know, we're holding a higher frequency of this light. Some of you notice that you come on this call, and by the time the call ends, that you're in a more uplifted space. Your energies are more balanced, and that every day we do something called Whole Planet Healing, where we don't do a live conversation with the Elohim, but we do, who knows what we might do in the future, but we don't do it. And we do play excerpts from
past sessions, which are pretty brilliant, and we cover all kinds of subjects. And then we get our energies up, and we do a group healing session on planet Earth. And sometimes we have miracles happen. We work on earthquakes, we work on governments, we work on toxins in the environment, and I hope you will come support it, because it actually makes a difference. And the phone number is 712-770-4340, 712-770-4340, and the PIN is, let's see, 250513, is that right?
250513.
Yeah, 250513, pound, 712-770-4340. That's 11:58, and we did it. We finished by noon.